Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is that you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from the senior community. You're calling, suggesting ideas. We're listening and are continuing to add content. So if you have any ideas, please get in contact with me. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests you'd enjoy hearing from, please also let me know. All right, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population. News, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other topics. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our office phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770kkob.com, and go to the Gray Matters program page. Today on my show, my guests are Curtis Smith. Curtis has degrees in botany, plant physiology, and horticulture. And Ginger Grostet, past assistant director of senior affairs for the city of Albuquerque. So we're going to have a good show. It's going to be fun. We're going to open up the phone lines, so please call if you'd like to ask Curtis a question. The phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, you know, it's kind of a long story, and I won't go into the long story, but I met your son.
Yes.
And he told me a little bit about you, and I thought, you know, Curtis would be ideal to have on our senior program. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, okay. Well, I grew up in Texas, near Houston, Baytown. Went to school there, good school, school district paid for by the refinery. So oil back then was big, and it did good. Went on to Texas A&M and got my degrees at Texas A&M. From there to Montana State University, where I was assistant professor of horticulture. From there, I came here to be first Bernalillo County Extension Horticulture Agent, then became the state horticulture specialist, and then I retired.
Then you retired.
And then life began, and I don't know how I ever had time to work.
You know what? Will you do me a favor? Because if I'm questioning it, I know the others are. Define horticulture.
Horticulture is gardening, but the old definition was the gardening that occurred within the city walls, whereas agriculture was outside the city walls in the old medieval times. So the gardens were there, so when you were under siege, you had some food to eat. And these tended to become the high cash value kind of thing. So now when we've got field agriculture, and it varies from state to state, some states sweet corn is grown in the fields, but it's considered horticulture, and others they'll call it a field crop, agronomic crop. But we get into, say, the fruit trees, apples, pecans, they're horticulture, even though they're large scale and high cash value. The key is the high cash value per acre. And then, of course, horticulture now, a lot of my work was urban horticulture, which is ornamental. I spent a lot of time here in Albuquerque and New Mexico dealing with xeriscape, how to have an attractive and productive landscape using minimal water.
Well, you know, the other day when you and I were talking about, you know, what topics we could discuss, you were out gardening.
I was indeed. And the second time we talked, I was out picking blackberries, and I learned those thornless blackberries are a whole lot better for us thin-skinned, tissue paper skin seniors.
I'll bet. Well, I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was raised bed gardens and wheelchair access gardens.
Right. As we get along, it gets harder and harder to bend over. So there are tools we can use that help us. But one of the simple tools is a raised bed so that you don't have to bend. You design it so you can actually sit on the edge of the garden while you work in the garden. Now, I don't have that. I've got the old-fashioned, you got to get down and work on your knees. But a raised bed garden, or a garden that actually is raised but is V-shaped so that your wheelchair can roll up to it, or your walker and stuff, so you can get up to it and still garden. Gardening's important, and as you get older, that's something that kind of keeps the juices flowing, keeps you going. My mother's 93. She had to give up her house, but she's got an apartment with a balcony. She's still gardening. That's important to her. And back years ago, I remember that the Soviets, cosmonauts, when they were flying on Mir, two of them, there's a boss and the underling. The underling went on revolt, and he went on strike. He quit doing everything he's supposed to do. They sent him some soil and seeds. He started growing stuff on the Mir space station, and it resolved the issues. So it's really good for your psychology to be gardening.
Well, my wife, Lois, we live up in Santa Fe, and we've talked about starting a little garden. We've got not a large backyard, but we have enough room. And we've talked about doing it with the raised beds instead of kind of having to start from scratch with soil that we don't understand.
Right.
Does that make sense?
A lot of sense. Here in New Mexico, our soil is really a challenge. And in a raised bed or a container garden, you can engineer your soil and tailor the soil to whatever crops you're growing. Some that want a more alkaline soil or a better drained soil, you design that for them. Others that need something that holds moisture, has a higher lower pH, more acid, you design for them. So you can have exactly what you need. Our water's going to change the soil over time, so you're going to have to replace that soil. Because our water has a lot of mineral in it, that's going to change the pH of the soil and the characteristics of the soil. So periodically you need to replace the soil in a raised bed or a container.
And Curtis, do people still call you and do you do consulting at all or not anymore?
I do. I've got friends who call. NMSU is just about to finally replace me after 7 years. And so Marissa will be taking over the urban horticulture position. The Master Gardener site has already been covered for a few years, but I still write the newspaper columns that are published at NMSU and several newspapers around the state, even into Texas. So, and I still get calls and emails from folks, but that'll be ending pretty soon.
Well,
and I'm going to start a blog.
Oh, good.
So I don't want to lose it all.
Well, this is a good segue because I want to remind our listeners that you can call in at 243-3333 and ask Curtis a question if you'd like to. All right, how about atrium and sun porch gardens?
Okay, in the winter, gardening doesn't have to stop. In fact, a lot of gardeners kind of go crazy. They're anxious for the garden season to end in the autumn, and by Christmas, they're dying for it to start again. And so having an atrium, sunroom, windowsill garden, something like that, you can keep on gardening and use that container gardening tailored soil concept and do a pretty good job, except your insect problems are big.
Okay, talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, indoors, we've got a problem that the insects tend to show up, the insect pest. Outdoors, we've got some good guys that work for us that eat the bad guys. Once we bring the plants in, we tend to leave the our beneficials outside, and we don't have as much protection by nature, so we have to work on managing the pest ourselves.
Okay, give us your contact information, then we'll go to break.
Okay, if you want to send an email, it's cwsmith@nmsu.edu. Now, that's NMSU, not UNM, but nmsu.edu. cwsmith@nmsu.edu.
Phone number?
I tend not to give that one away.
Okay, that's all right. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirt Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on 770kkob.com. Before I continue my conversation with Curtis, the new segment that we introduced, Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. Last week, we discussed haircuts. National chains such as Great Clips and Supercuts may trim the cost of your next haircut. Terms and condition vary based on location, and also be sure to ask your local barbers and salons. This week, I want to tell you about AARP's member exclusive savings of $30 on tech support and their auto insurance program from the Hartford. So listen every week. Because you're a senior, these things are available to you. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Curtis Smith. And Curtis, during the break, Ginger, my next guest, brought up succulents. Mm-hmm. So will you talk a little bit about that?
We were talking about that, how to not overwater them, and I gave my usual equivocal answer. It depends on the soil. If you've got a very organic soil that holds a lot of water, you really got to watch it and learn what your plants need and let your plants talk to you. Instead of you talking to them, you let them tell you when they need water. And you have to learn by experience. Gardening is an art as much as a science. But the other thing is you can also protect your succulents by giving them a very well-drained soil, one that has a lot of gravel, aquarium-type gravel, or really sharp sand, so the water flows through quickly. It doesn't hold too much water. Then you can water more often. If you're one of those gardeners who just has to go water your plants, use a soil that drains well if you're growing succulents.
Well, you know, and I told you during the break, too, that gardening is not something that I have done personally, and nor do I think Lois has. Mm-hmm. But it's something that interests both of us, and I thought your comment was a good one. Start small and grow into it.
Yeah, grow your garden. Mm-hmm. That means more than just the plants. Grow the area of your garden, because if you start with too big, too ambitious a garden, you'll frustrate yourself. Mm-hmm. And so start small and grow it.
What kinds of things do you suggest for somebody that's new?
Most people, depends on who you are, what you like. Some people like flowers, some like vegetables. I like something that's productive, so I like the vegetables. I grow a lot of chilies and tomatoes and make salsa, make pepper jellies and stuff like that. Some people like the flowers. Some like trees and shrubs. And what you want to do is find what you're interested in. And then there's tremendous resources at New Mexico State University. There are publications. You can use those to guide you as you go. You've got county agents in every county in the state who can also help you. So find out what you like and then get that information and go from there.
Okay. Well, that's a good segue to the next topic. Plant for the future. You've got grandkids, et cetera.
Yeah. These days, keeping property, but this reverse mortgage helps you kind of do that maybe in ways of working. And sometimes when we get older, we got time to do things, but we don't have time to wait around for things to develop. But we can think about the next generation. So we ought to be planting for the future. We're planting for shade. We're planting for fruit trees, nut trees and things. So we plant, and then as the grandkids come over and start bearing, they can go out and help harvest. They can learn about gardening. Mm. As you grow another garden, grow it so the grandkids can work in the garden.
That's a great idea. What about window sills and container gardens?
Okay, this is kind of like raised beds and other things. You get to choose the right soil for the plants. You've got to put something under it so you can catch the water. There are some rules and things about not letting the water soak back up into the bottom, and I've got ways to break the rules, but I don't have time to talk about that now. But the key here is choose the plants. There are a lot of windowsill vegetables. They've developed miniature plants. You can grow tomatoes and okra, beans, even little squash. And all, there are all kinds of plants you can grow on a windowsill through the winter. And it's nice to be eating your own fresh produce right through the middle of the winter. And I like to grow chilies, and so I'll have some chilies in the windowsill and add them to my omelets or to whatever I'm fixing, have some fresh, hot New Mexico chili.
That's great. Down at our work at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, I mean our physical location, Mace, the owner of our company, he recently brought in a system that I think it's called hydroponics.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we moved a conference table out of a large room, and we're setting up this system now. And one of the other, one of my peers, Amanda, is going to kind of take the lead on that. She's a master gardener.
Ah.
So we're going to have all kinds of things, which is going to be wonderful to eat.
It's good to hear. A lot of people like the hydroponics, but I always warn them, if you ever get a disease in there, you're going to lose everything all at once. And because it's chemical, you've got to have the chemistry to know how to keep everything balanced. And a master gardener there is going to be good to have. That's going to be real important. But, it's a kind of a fun way to do it. Not necessarily the most affordable way, but sometimes it works out very well.
Well, Mace has done it for years as well.
Okay, so experience, that matters.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Shade, trellises, vines. Or constructed?
Okay. If constructed, you can build your shade or you can grow your shade. And so a trellis. And one time I was in Turkmenistan, and in the madrasa there, I saw where they had a pole. Looked like an old outside clothes hanger, a pole that came up and then poles radiating out from it in about a semicircle. And they were growing grapes. And that's where the teacher would sit while the students sat around him out in the sun. He would sit there in the shade. Mm-hmm. So the idea is grow shade. Here in New Mexico, shade is a valuable commodity. Mm-hmm. And a vine grows faster than a tree. And so if you want shade the fastest, it's going to be a vine. And it could be a grapevine. You get to eat from it as well. Or you can plant a tree. but shade is important, but you got to learn how to water them and take care of them.
Okay, what about this? Sitting areas for rest, dominoes, cards, sharing coffee, tea, et cetera?
The garden should be fun. It should be, you know, you're going to work in the garden, and as I'm getting older, I take more breaks. And it's nice to have a nice shady place where I've got some cool but not ice-cold water to sit and drink. Or I have friends over. And, you know, I don't play dominoes, but my father-in-law used to love to play dominoes. You know, dominoes, cards, whatever. You have friends over. Enjoy the garden. The garden doesn't have to be a place just for work. It should be a place for fun. A lot of things you can do there. You can have a cup of coffee sitting there watching the hummingbirds fight over the flowers and stuff. Have a glass of tea. Go out and watch the sunrise. It should be a place that you go out and enjoy.
Yeah.
And maybe take your mind off the worries of the world.
Sounds good. Talk about composting a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Throwing organic material into the garbage clutters up the landfill, waste the landfill, because our soil really needs that organic matter in it. And every time we fill that landfill up, we have to move it further and further away. So the fuel cost to get there, the air pollution to get all the garbage out there, all these things increase our taxes. So let's compost. Let's don't throw things away that we could actually use. Composting is a science. There's a right way to do it. But there's also an old saying, compost happens. If you don't do it exactly right, it's still going to happen. You've got good material then to add to your soil, and your garden will grow a whole lot better.
Okay, so define what it is.
Okay, compost is decomposed organic matter. Generally, we're talking vegetable matter. We have ways, vermicomposting, where we let the worms do the work for us, and then we can go fishing with the worms. But the worms will eat things, even meat and corn cobs and stuff like that, that don't break down in the compost pile very well. But what we're doing is decomposing organic matter.
Okay.
And turning it into soil amendment.
All right. What about heat pads, LED lights to start seedlings?
Okay. Those who've been around gardening for a while have read that you start your seeds on top of the refrigerator. That's back in the old days when the refrigerators weren't so well insulated. The heat was radiated off the top of the refrigerator, so that was a warm place. So you start, seeds need warmth to begin growth. Once they've sprouted, you can move them to a window or something where the light is. Until then, you don't. Well, you can buy a heat pad that has a thermostat attached to it. So you set the temperature just right. With chili seeds, I like it to be about 75 degrees. Some plants can take it less. Need the heat. And then I use LED lights, which are more efficient now, and are actually doing a better job for starting my seedlings indoors than the fluorescent lights did. And so we can start things in a basement or wherever using the lights like that. Your hydroponics, if it's inside in a conference room, you're going to need light for the plants. And so LED is an efficient way to do it.
Yeah, well, they're working on that.
Okay, I figured they would be. Yep.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I'm not doing it. All right. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. Give us your email address again, Curtis.
My email is cwsmith@nmsu.edu.
Great. Okay, thank you for being on the show, Curtis.
My pleasure.
All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirt Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirt Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on 770 News Radio KKOB. All right, my next guest is Ginger Grostet. Ginger is a past assistant director of senior affairs for the city of Albuquerque, and I've got to give you a little bit of a personal background. Ginger has known me probably about as long as anybody's known me. My folks and Ginger and her husband were good friends. And so they've spent a lot of time around me. That's either good or bad, but we won't get into that today. But she's got quite a background with senior affairs. And she wanted me to remind everybody that the New Mexico Senior Olympics, the state summer games, are July 19th through the 23rd here in Albuquerque. It's free to spectators. It's at Balloon Fiesta Park, Wednesday, July 19th. There's going to be exhibitors, entertainment, golf putt for fun. You can watch the athletes compete. And I think it's a great event. It's for a good cause. So she wanted me to definitely remind you guys about that. Welcome to the show, Ginger.
Thank you so much for having me, Dirk.
Oh, you're welcome. I was excited when I called and you said you'd do it.
Yeah, and I might add that you really turned out very well. Watching you grow up, I was wondering.
Yeah, I'll bet you were. Well, let's talk about how you got involved in working with the senior citizens.
What happened was when I turned 34, I decided that I was tired of doing so much volunteer work and that maybe I might should get paid for something that I was doing. And so I went back to the university, and I had gone 2 years earlier and decided to go back. And I had heard of a new degree called recreation, and I thought, that's right down my alley. And so I went back to the university, got involved in the recreation program. And as I was involved in that, I was doing field work with senior citizens, and it really turned me on. I thought, I've raised these children. I really want to have a new population, and the senior citizens really needed me. And I thought, this is it. So I focused on senior citizens. And when I graduated in 1974, the city was just finishing building the Paulo Duro Senior Center. And so I actually got the job to open the Paulo Duro Senior Center in 1974. Well, that's how it all happened.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised, because you've always been a bundle of energy and kind of take charge. And so I'm sure you were extremely good at it. Give us a brief history of the U.S. starting to focus on senior citizens.
Yes, actually, Jack Kennedy was the president in 1961. John F. Kennedy, I should say. And he established the first White House Conference on Aging in 1961. And people, because the senior population was growing so rapidly, that people thought, we better start thinking about that population and what we can do and what their needs are, etc. So that was the first entry into that field. Then in 1965, the Congress passed landmark legislation called the Older Americans Act, and that established funding for services for seniors. Then it was followed up in 1971 by the second White House Conference on Aging. And at that time, they developed a national policy on aging. So I was at the right place at the right time with the right credentials, because that's when they funded senior centers and they funded the nutrition programs that occurred now all over the United States, and also home care and a number of other programs. But that all came out of the second White House Conference on Aging.
Well, Ginger, when you, during the break we were talking, or actually before the show, and, you know, I told you that before I got involved with New Mexico Reverse, alongside with my folks passing away, I didn't really know what was available out there for seniors, because I didn't have any need to. But as I've gotten more and more involved in it, because our average client is 71, 72 years old, it's all that I focus on now primarily. Can you talk about what senior affairs, maybe talk a little bit about their mission, if you could, and talk about how they function for the city?
Yes. Well, the department, I helped set up the Department of Senior Affairs, and the whole idea was to create an umbrella agency where you would have a wide variety of services for seniors. And so not only do they operate the senior centers, where many things are delivered there, but they operate transportation. They have at least 20 meal sites around the city where people can go for lunch. And also they have home delivered meals. They have home repair. Many seniors have been living in their houses for a long time and they're starting to fall apart and they need help. So, and transportation is available. There's so many services that are out there. And when I was working, I would hear just what you said every day. I didn't know that was all available. And people don't pay attention unless they're in need of something. Mm-hmm. If they have a parent now all of a sudden that is needing some kind of a service, then they will, their ears will perk up and they'll hear about that. So that's what seems to be what happens. But the senior centers are a great place for people to learn about what's available, because they do have registers of all the services that are available, how to get in touch with them. And so actually the senior centers act as a portal to all those other services. And if we can get people into the senior center, some people say, I wouldn't be caught dead at a senior center. Well, they don't realize how much fun people have there and what benefits you can get by going to a senior center.
You know what? It's amazing what the senior centers provide for people and what they have to get involved in.
Exactly. And that's why we were so excited when the first senior center was built, because prior to that, there had been a group way back in 1953, Dr. Leroy Jones formed a senior council for Albuquerque, and that group advocated for senior services, and the city actually gave him a little four-room house over at Wells Park, occupied that for a while and offered services and activities and classes and all that. And then finally in 1971, the city passed a bond issue to build Palo Duro. And that was 14,000 square foot senior center and $305,000 that was built for at that time. Of course, things have changed now.
Ginger, do the people tend to go to the senior citizens or the senior centers that are located close to them?
Exactly. And that's why after we built Palo Duro and our population and attendance grew so rapidly, we sat down and said, we better develop a plan to have a senior center in each quadrant of the city. So that's what happened. And we planned the Highland Senior Center that's over close, you know, by Highland High School. And then we developed the Bear Canyon Center, which is far northeast, and West Mesa Center and the North Valley Center. But then there was still a need for more, and so then they decided we better start having intergenerational centers, because that was a trend that was happening across the United States. So then they built two more. And one is the Manzano Mesa Senior Center, intergenerational. I'm using the wrong term. And that's close to Eubank and Central. And North Domingo Baca, the newest one, is at Barstow and Paseo del Norte.
And Ginger, what does that mean? Tell our intergenerational, what does that refer to?
Okay, what that means is that it's not just serving a senior population, it is also serving young people. And so, for instance, Manzano Mesa has a preschool program and an after-school program during the school year. And then in the summer months, they have a complete youth program, like a camp, so they can go and spend the day there. And it's integrated very well with the senior population.
Okay, Ginger, give us your contact information.
My email? Okay, gingergrow@gmail.com.
Right.
Or my phone is 280-9497.
Okay, Ginger, thank you so much for being on the program. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. All right, in this last segment, I want to talk about the reverse mortgage, or the HECM, the home equity conversion mortgages line of credit. And a reverse mortgage gives you access to a percentage of equity. And just for discussion's sake, let's say your home is worth $200,000 and you have access to 50% of the equity. Now, that's very general. It's actually a little bit higher than that. We begin at 62 years old, and you can access 52.4%, and it goes up from there. But let's say that you have access to 50%, or $100,000, with a $200,000 value. What the line of credit allows you to do is you leave basically the equity or the line of credit in the home, and then you use it as a line of credit. And what I want to talk about and explain is why obtaining a reverse mortgage, especially if you don't need one, may be the smartest financial decision you'll ever make. And this is the part of reverse mortgages that I get really excited about, because there are so many people that should take advantage of our line of credit, because it's a phenomenal financial tool. So most of you already know that a home equity conversion mortgage, or HECM, is a HUD-insured reverse mortgage. The HECM program is reserved for homeowners 62 and older, and does not have any income or credit score requirements. And let me qualify that. There's something called a financial assessment that we do. You need to have a certain amount of reserve income required, but we won't get into that. But I just want to make sure that you understand there are some requirements that we look at. The homeowner retains ownership, and the house is typically passed on to the heirs. So there's really nothing new here. It's been that way since 1989. However, did you know that the unused line of credit actually gets bigger over time? The HECM line of credit has the ability to grow beyond the original loan amount. Now, think about that carefully for a moment, and let's just look at some numbers. Today, we'll assume you're 62 and own a $200,000 home free and clear. In 20 years, Moody's projects that that property will be worth $360,000. If you get a reverse mortgage line of credit established today for $100,000 and didn't utilize it, in other words, you're not accessing, it's just sitting there, the line of credit is expected to be worth about $415,000 in 20 years. So the line of credit now is $55,000 more valuable than the home itself. So again, let's move up the numbers. And at this point, let's say at age 82, let's pretend that you need some assistance and are considering an assisted living development. You have two choices. If you do not do a reverse mortgage 20 years earlier, you would need to sell the home. After listing and showing the property for who knows how many months and all that goes along with it, and after typical agency fees and closing costs, let's assume that you'll net $328,000. However, if you had established a reverse mortgage, you could request the entire $415,000 and it would immediately be deposited into your bank account tax-free. Remember, reverse mortgages have a non-recourse clause. We've discussed that on this show in the past, but we'll talk a little bit more about it. That non-recourse clause is written into the mortgage and is guaranteed by the government. This means that you cannot be held responsible and can actually give the house back to the bank and move on with your life with a clean slate. So you were going to sell your house anyway, so why should you care if it becomes the property of a new owner or the bank? You really don't, in actuality. And remember, you have $415,000. You only sold your home to get your equity out to pay for assisted living. You now have the needed cash to comfortably afford home health care instead of assisted living, and you get to stay in your house. So it's an amazing tool. An additional exercise, and we'll just go through a few more numbers, just to show you the power of compounding. Let's take that unused line of credit out another 5 years and look at the numbers when you're 87. Your property would be worth $435,000, and the line of credit is now valued at $595,000. That's a much bigger number and really demonstrates the power of compounding. So here are your choices. You don't get a reverse mortgage, and your heirs inherit a property that will ultimately sell if you never want to consider a reverse mortgage. That's the outcome. It's plain and simple and historically how an asset is passed on to their heirs. Number two, if you get a reverse mortgage and never take the opportunity to tap into it, your heirs simply inherit the home and the value minus the reverse mortgage closing costs and the costs involved in selling the property. Yes, some equity has been spent on closing costs, and you never utilized the benefit other than knowing you had a large line of credit that could quickly be relied upon in the time of need. So you could kind of liken that to an insurance policy that you paid for but never used. And then number three, you get a reverse mortgage, use the funds as you see fit, you know, pay for medical issues, remodel vacations, go out to dinner, have fun, you know, however you want to use the money. And lastly, you get the reverse mortgage and you do not use it for many years while the line of credit grows and is compounding silently behind the scenes. Years later, you liquidate it, have a big pile of tax-free cash to spend however you'd like. Of course, whatever you do, do not spend still is passed on to your heirs, who, frankly speaking, would probably rather have the cash over the house anyhow. So that's a little bit of information on our line of credit. If you need more information, give us a call at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage at 897-4900. All right. I want to thank my guests on the show today, Curtis Smith and Ginger Grostet. I want to thank Bob, my producer, as always, and the KKOB team for making Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of reverse mortgages and seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the phone number is 505-897-4900 or go to 770kkob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgages NMLS number is 110-2656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters or New Mexico Reverse Mortgage or KKOB. Bob, again, I think we had a good show.
Yes, we did, and I wanted to add one thing to it.
Please.
If you are interested in going to one of the senior centers, but you don't know where they are, go to cabq.gov. Go to all departments, go down to the departments of S for seniors and multi-generational centers. Click on that, and you'll have a map of the whole city and all of the sites.
Great. Bob, thanks for your help, as always. Thank you for joining me today on the program. I'm Dirk Gray.